for what we're going to share this morning, I've invited three special guests to come up and read a significant passage of Scripture. It's from Luke chapter 2. And I want you to listen closely because this is one aspect of the Christmas story that only Dr. Luke actually tells us. And yet it's so important relative to the big story. And I'm going to ask you today to welcome three of my grandsons, Dallas, Ezra, and Grayson Alcorn. Would they come on down, please? They're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels have left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word, conquering what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Fantastic, boys. Thank you very much. Well done. Great job. Thank you very much. Today I want to invite you out into those fields on the Judean hills where we join a group of those nameless shepherds that we just heard about whose lives were changed forever because of an encounter on the night that Christ was born. I don't know about you, but my absolute favorite Christmas carol is "O Holy Night." It motivates me, it stirs me. The night that Christ was born. How many know that everything changed the night that Christ was born? And today we want to focus a little on those shepherds. See, the first to hear about the birth of God's Son was a group of people that were not part of the ruling class. They weren't religious leaders. They're actually lowly shepherds. And in those days, shepherds were outcasts of society. And why would God use them? Why would God speak to them first? Well, he was making a statement. He was making a powerful statement, and he's continued to do so throughout the centuries that have followed. In fact, here we stand more than 2,000 years since that amazing night in Bethlehem, and his message is as clear as it's ever been. I want everybody to hear it. Jesus has come for everybody. He's come for everybody. No one is excluded. Emmanuel means God with us. He's not just with the elite. He's not just with the religious, and he's not just with the socially acceptable. God came for us. And the message of Jesus' arrival, the biggest news ever, the message which changed mankind, was initially delivered to a group of people deemed insignificant, totally insignificant. They were marginalized. They were filthy. People saw them as ignorant and arrogant. Did you know that shepherds couldn't testify in a court of law? They were seen as people that couldn't be trusted. They couldn't go to the temple because society classed them as unclean. They were in the same class as a leper. They could never enter into the place to worship God. And as we today stop and we read Luke's account of that moment, we realize that God was making a powerful statement. And here it is. God's not afraid of messy people. And he's not afraid of messed up people. And he's not afraid of messy situations. In fact, my tradition as we come into those last few days of Christmas is I read over and over and over the various prophecies and accounts of Jesus' arrival here on planet Earth. And I was reading and interested just the other day as I read from Matthew chapter 1, the genealogies, in other words, just the birth line of Jesus Christ. And there's so many people listed there, so many of the great patriarchs, men whose names have appeared throughout the Old Testament. And then we see in the midst of it, there are two women named Rahab, a woman of ill repute, and Bathsheba, a woman with whom King David had an affair, and these people are in the lineage of the Messiah, listed in Scripture for all to read. It seems to me that God isn't afraid to tell the story. He's not afraid of the mess. So if you've ever been messed up, if you've ever messed up, let me tell you something. You're in good company, and God cares for you. He cares for you. And I want you to look with me today as we unpack some of those verses that the boys have just read. In this narrative of Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we're reminded that there were shepherds living out on the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were just ordinary men getting about their day-to-day duties when suddenly their routine and their lives were radically interrupted by a heavenly encounter. Some people in this room can say, you know what? I was just getting on with life, and then suddenly I met God and everything changed. And in that moment, as they heard the news of the arrival of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me the glory of the Lord shone all around them. It must have been incredible. Then the angel of the Lord speaks to them in verse 10. He says to them, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. You can imagine they're saying, sure, this happens every night out on these hills. The sky is light up, massive angels appearing. He says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. I bring you good news that is for all people. And today, I want to just unpack three two-word statements that are in this passage of Luke chapter 2, because they literally bring the whole of the Christmas story alive. First one is good news. I'm so glad that when Jesus came, we got some good news. I'm so glad that we can stop in the midst of all of what's been going on in 2024 and just remember that Jesus is good news. Because to be quite honest, I'm quite sick of bad news. Every time I see a news bulletin, there's stories of wars around the globe. Then the economists come on and tell us that our national economy's in strife. And then locally, we've got escalating crime rates. And on and on and on it goes. There's just so much bad news. But let me tell you something. When Jesus came, finally, we got some good news. Up until this moment, if you read the Bible through the Old Testament, many ordinary people would say, you know what? It's not exactly good news, this religion that we've been subject to. See, before Jesus, religion, which is man's attempt to make themselves right with God through rules and regulations, for centuries had tried to somehow bridge the gap between man and God, but it just didn't quite work for most people. Religion tells us, and some of us have heard this, and some of us even in this room today, some online, you've been exposed to religion and all its rules and regulations, and you've come to the conclusion that you'll never measure up to be enough for God. That's what religion does. It says you'll never measure up, but Jesus came to tell us that you don't have to. You don't have to. When Jesus came, he came to let us know that there's nothing that you can do, because it doesn't have to be done, because it's all been done by him. That's why we celebrate. That's where the good news is. When he came, he opened up the door, not to religion, but to relationship with the Creator. Friends, that's very good news. Let me tell you why it's really good news. Here's the next cluster of two words, because it's for all people. It's not just for some people. Up until then, religious systems had excluded people of certain class, particularly people of certain backgrounds or circumstances. They were excluded from the presence of God. But when Jesus came, the floodgates were open so that all people, everybody, everywhere could come into the presence of God. They could actually have a personal relationship with Him. Friends, that's why today we can sing, there is great joy, because this is for everybody. Whether you're a shepherd or somebody with a very broken past, maybe you're somebody who actually has had a fairly good life, but you've never connected with God. This is good news for everyone. No one's excluded. Not the marginalized, not the disenfranchised, not the rich, not the poor, not the old, not the young, nobody. I'm going to tell you something, even failed humans, even humans that have got a bit of a reputation like these shepherds, everybody's welcome into the presence of God. For God so loved the world. If you're on planet Earth today, let me tell you something, you are part of the reason that He sent Jesus. For God so loved you. It's good news for all people. But then there was a response by these shepherds. These shepherds that had been kept out, they couldn't, let me use modern language, they couldn't even go to church. They weren't allowed in the front door. But now they're actually literally in the presence and seeing the face of God. It's incredible. Look in verse 15 of chapter 2. Their response is, let's go. Say that with me, let's go. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I love these guys. They're action men. They're not procrastinators. They're my kind of people. Let's get on with the job. They responded straight away. And I can only imagine when they got up and went to Bethlehem and saw this child lying in a manger, something they were quite familiar with, food troughs for animals. And they beheld the face of Emmanuel. I can only imagine the response in their heart. Can I be honest? I'm somebody that suffers with FOMO. FOMO is something called fear of missing out. It's something we sanguines have a major issue with. If we feel there's something going on and we're not part of it, we actually feel it's terrible. We just can't get there. All their lives, these shepherds had suffered FOMO. They'd missed out on encounters with God. They'd missed out on going into the temple. They'd missed out on a level of acceptance and respectability in society. But now they've been heard that a God who is not exclusive but inclusive says, you're welcome, come on in to the presence of the Messiah. Their response was immediate, let's go. They didn't go, oh yeah, whatever. No, no, no. Their response was immediate. They'd been missing out on connection with God all their lives, and when the invitation came, you can only imagine the joy and their excitement, and their response was immediate. They didn't delay. And friends, neither should we. I'm not a tradie, but I have some friends that are. And there have been a couple of times when we've been working on certain pieces of machinery, particularly boats or cars, that we had to somehow harden some metal. A friend of mine who's a boilermaker said, Wayne, you do know how to harden metal, hey? They case hardened metal by heating it up and then cooling it down, and then heating it up and then cooling it down, and then heating it up and cooling it down until it's much, much harder than it was once. Can I tell you something? When the invitation of heaven comes to your heart, it warms it. And every time we say no, it gets a little cooler. And then the invitation comes and we say no. Can I tell you, there comes a point in time in the hearts of human beings when we say no to God, it gets so hard and we can't respond to His presence. That's why I love the fact that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to respond. Don't procrastinate when God is speaking to our hearts. And these shepherds, when they'd been kept away from God. They'd never felt that they could somehow measure up to be a friend with God and have relationship with Him. All of a sudden, they've been invited not only into an encounter, but into a relationship that would last the rest of their lives. And they said, let's go. My encouragement to you, my friend, watching this from home and with family, friends, or even if you're on your own, can I encourage you, the best response ever is when God says, I want to know you. I want you to be my friend. You know what the response is? Okay, let's go. Let's say yes to Him. Let's respond. Don't try and work it out. Can I tell you, with God, you'll never work Him out. But as you walk with Him, you'll understand Him more. I read, as this passage unfolds, and I love how they left the presence of Mary, Joseph, and particularly Jesus. These men that had been ostracized, marginalized, looked down upon, shunned, and yet invited into the presence of God, made flesh there in that moment. And when they turned and left, there are three things that happened. They were trusted. These men were seen as unreliable witnesses. And yet they went out from that moment, not testifying just in a court, but telling the whole world. Here we are 2,000 years later and we're still talking about these men. Their testimony wasn't trusted all their lives, but from this day on, we're quoting them, we're celebrating what God had done in them, for them, and through them. These shepherds had met the Lamb of God and they wanted the whole world to know. They were trusted. It says in verse 17, when they'd seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And when all who heard it, they were gagged most of their lives, but now they're telling the greatest news, the greatest story. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. They were trusted. They were accepted. The impact of this moment and what it had on them must have been profound. Though they weren't allowed in the temple, they were invited into the very presence of God. It's incredible. They'd met Emmanuel personally. And from that day forward, they knew they wouldn't be kept out any longer. They were trusted. They're accepted. And they were changed. They were changed. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. They returned back to their normal lives. They went back to their jobs. They went back to their routine. But the drudgery was gone because they'd met Jesus. Their life from that day on had new meaning. Their life from that day on had purpose. And can I tell you something? You may be just going through the motions of life. I can tell you, the day you have a genuine encounter with Jesus and you allow Him to change your life from the inside out, everything changes. Can anybody agree with me today? Everything changes. And you know what's amazing with these guys? That's the last we hear of them. They just drift out of the picture. There's no further mention of them anywhere in Scripture. But we do know their lives had been changed because of a divine encounter on that holy night. And tonight, or this day, as we prepare to close this very special service, I again want to thank you for being here, but I want to remind you of the big message of Christmas. The big message of Christmas, like one of our beautiful missionaries says, is simply this. God loves everybody, everywhere, all the time. And it doesn't matter how much you feel like you've failed, messed up, hurt God or hurt others, he says, just come. And the invitation of Christmas is come. Come as you are. He accepts you just the way you are. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're hurting, if you're broken, if your life is filled with shame and regret, he won't leave you the way you are. He'll change you through the power of his forgiveness and the strength daily by the person and power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to clearly know there's no one too bad, too far, that will ever be excluded from the love of God. And I hope and pray that we remember that this year. And I'm going to pray for you as we prepare to bring this service to a close. And I wonder if you'd just bow your head for a moment. Maybe friend in the room, friend online. You've been having some God thoughts. The issue of faith has become quite significant for you. I wonder if today you need to say, God, I didn't realize that you'd be even interested in somebody like me. Or maybe you once had a relationship with God and for some reason you drifted away. Today, can you hear the invitation in your heart? There is one response that'll change everything, and here it is. Let's go. The Bible clearly says that if we take the initiative, if we draw near, in other words, we begin to walk towards God, he will walk towards us. Perhaps with our heads bowed, we just need to say, yes, God, that's me. Yes. I don't want to complicate it. I don't want to make it weird or intense. I just want to know you in a real and personal way. If that's you, my friend, or if you've been somebody that's just been struggling in your faith, I pray that today you would realize absolutely for certain how much you matter to God. He loves you, and I pray the revelation of his love for you would be so real in your heart and your mind. And today, Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that he means and all that he has done for us. We also thank you for all that he will do for each of us as we say yes to you. Friend, if you want to know more about the Christian faith, there are people out in the foyer. Pastor Luke would probably direct you to that. We've got just some little pamphlets and books and Bibles if you need one. We can help you with that. The journey's yours, but we want to be cheering you on. This church is here for you. There are other great churches, but if you don't have one, you're always welcome. We're here every Sunday morning at 9:30. Here on Sunday nights at 5:30. You're most welcome. Talk to a friend. Come and have a chat to one of the pastors if you want to say, I do want to respond to God. Or just keep coming back. Because every day you take a step closer, he will come to you and change your life from the inside out. So from Lynn and I, from all of you pastors, from each of us, from your leaders, from this community we call Hope Center, we bless you, we love you. We thank you for being here on this Christmas Day.